spectacular eyebrows in this show.
You're my Mercury, you're my hero.
I'm spying a monkey or ape-like creature. Is there an episode when he rips off Jimmy's face?
Hey, man, yeah, what are we going to do? Let's go to save the day, man.
Oh, we should be watching that episode.
Anything can happen in the next half hour.
So here we are, Chris. It's rather bombastic music.
It is rather, isn't it? Yes.
Into Supercar. Lovely. What year are we talking about here?
We're talking 1960 here, no less.
Yes.
Yeah, nice. The first series that Lou Grade was involved with through ITC, yes.
So this is 3 years before Stingray? So
yeah.
And 4 years before Thunderbirds?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And there's...
Yeah, I love the... Like, the vocal on the music is amazing. Yeah. That is.
So this is Barry Gray, I guess.
Yeah.
Who's singing? Do we know?
That's Mike Sams, I believe. Yes.
Okay. It should be a good line in Anderson Convention's kind of karaoke of opening theme songs. Oh, yes.
I mean, that's sport.
Yeah, well.
This would certainly suit that, wouldn't it?
Yes.
But here we see the mix of sort of live-action sky, as it were.
Ah, yes.
And some of those shots were being reused into, like, Thunderbirds and later shows as well.
So there's a little bit of the Secret Service already. The mixture of... Have they done live action elements in the earlier shows?
I think there's a shot in Four Feather Falls where a real human hand pulls a gun on a puppet. Yeah.
There we go. That's the classic, isn't it?
So I'm spying a monkey or ape-like creature.
Yes, that's Mitch.
Well spotted.
11 o'clock. It's getting late, Mike. Surely it's time they called in.
According to schedule, yes.
And that's Mike Mercury, our hero.
Yes, our brave hero.
They always have good names, don't they? And good alliteration, like Troy Tempest.
Mercury.
Yeah.
That's lovely, isn't it?
Please.
Well, I guess we can...
So why is it talking, Mikey? Well, or is it talking or not?
Not in this episode, no.
Oh, you've stumbled across a whole can of worms
Chris.
He's very well behaved.
For now, yes. Yes. I love the side eye that monkey puppet is capable of. Oh, he's gorgeous. So the supercar team are sitting around waiting.
Yes.
For Dr. Beaker and Jimmy Gibson to arrive.
Okay.
With a truck full of fuel.
I see.
New fuel for supercar.
Okay.
And quite an adventurous, ambitious shot there. Moving the puppet vehicle across the set like that.
And they've got like a... They've got a moving back screen then behind it, do you think? They're moving the rear.
Yeah, and look, you can see the strings at the top of the
picture
there going through the roof of the vehicle then to operate the puppets.
Root. Things I let myself in for.
Oh, no, actually, yeah, you can see them moving for him on the right.
Yeah.
Mm. So they've all got, like,
hands,
five strings. Yeah,
head. And I guess even the knees would be connected because they wouldn't disconnect them just for this shot, would they?
A can of stuff in the back that would blow us clear into Arizona if it gets above freezing point.
Is the black line on the left, is that meant to be the antennae on the car rather than anything?
Rather than an artifact.
And what's interesting about this episode is here we have David Graham voicing both of these characters, Dr. Beaker and Bill Gibson.
Uh-huh.
I love that kids were watching... or listening to David Graham in 1960, and my daughter's watching David Graham in Peppa Pig.
Yeah, my nieces as well.
To have that kind of career,
icon
after icon, amazing.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting, having come from from watching The Secret Service, when you've got that more Captain Anderson, that more Captain Scarlet, Joe 90, things were a bit more anatomically correct.
Yes.
Here, you know, it's
anything goes
so
really,
much more caricature.
Yes, naive, almost grotesque, some of them, aren't they, I think?
Yes.
I mean, there's something of the David Graham in the look of that puppet as well, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the eyebrows, isn't it? Graham had very strong eyebrows.
Spectacular eyebrows in this show. Yeah.
About half an hour without the generator to recharge.
And a lot of technical dialogue explaining the situation, what's going on, why this is important, reiterating it over and over and over.
I see.
To make up, I guess, for the fact that they can't just
show
have
it.
Action and explosions like you would get in later shows.
Still, as you say, good to set a scene inside a moving vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, to think, you know, we're going to have to build something big enough to house these puppets.
Yeah. But, you know, limited pretty much so far, just about one single shot, though, from outside the window. That's the,
You don't get a wide shot to see them crossing
the
screen. Ah, here's
ours. Master Spy. And his sidekick, Zarin.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Another David Graham voiced character.
And Master Spy appeared in just about every episode, or was he?
No, only about 10 out of the 39.
And this is always the interesting challenge they'd have with fire, I guess with water as well, is the scale of matching the scale of a real fire to the scale of a small puppet.
Yes.
Must have always been a bit of a thorn in their side.
Yeah,
we were baffled a bit last time in The Randomizer when we watched an episode of The Secret Service where you have Puppet Matthew being attacked by a full-size proportion dog.
I love that bit.
A real dog. He has two
interactions with dogs.
We're thinking, hang on, how big should he be?
He has a nasty dog and a nice dog.
Right.
So he gets licked by one by a bulldog, I think, doesn't he?
Yeah. She said that was one of her favourite scenes.
He'll just send his regards over and out.
So they're still on their way with the fuel for the for supercar.
Yes, very important. All we can do is wait and, and talk about how we're waiting and hope that everything will be all right.
Okay.
Do you think, is this one of the shows where they're kind of, they're actively basing the puppets, the way they look on famous faces? They're looking to Hollywood to kind of
I think that was like a quality in all of the shows. Perhaps not so much this one, but certainly through, say, Stingray onwards, where famously Troy Tempest is modelled on James Garner.
Mm. Yeah.
We, as we said last week, there's a bit of Lou Grade, a bit of was it Sydney Greenstreet in Master Spy there.
But what's interesting about these early shows is that we've discussed about the lineage or the progression of the techniques used in the Anderson series, but that also goes as far as the storytelling, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know, this is quite a naive way to tell a story.
Well, the majority of these first series supercar scripts were written by Martin and Hugh Woodhouse, who were very scientifically minded and quite keen to sort of get that across to kids.
I see.
Again, it's partly due to the fact they can't have all-out action the way the later shows would. So there is a lot of talking, a lot of fretting.
And where would this have aired in the UK? Would this have been on the ITV regions?
Yes.
Originally? Yeah. Do you think this is a kind of middle of the... Is this a kind of a middle of the day show or an evening show?
I think like this was like 5 p.m. 5 p.m.-ish, yeah. And reasonably big in the States as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It did quite well in merchandise over there.
And you said this was the first one that Lou Grade is executive on?
Yeah.
So that's quite ambitious, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the widest we've seen.
You still reckon we're on the right road, Dr. Beaker?
And there was a story that Graydon Gould, who was the voice of Mike Mercury, told. Many years later, he was sat in a bar somewhere all on his own, and a group of like bikers, real tough guys, came up.
Yeah.
And one of them burst into tears because, "Are you Mike Mercury? You're my hero!"
Great.
Relax. Gibson Transport always gets you there safe and sound. Mm.
Does Sylvia do any voices on this one?
Sorry?
Does Sylvia Anderson do any voices?
Sylvia is the voice of Jimmy Gibson, the little boy, and a couple of, well, actually all the other female characters, of which there are maybe 10.
Yeah.
Gave me quite a turn.
They have
placed on the arm round him.
There is something of the feel of Four Feather Falls about this, just in terms
of
the locations.
Look, yeah, I would imagine they are just reused Four Feather Falls desert sets.
When we spoke to Alan Perry, the director, he talked about how Jerry would always be very encouraging, but would hate to see the strings, would always be saying to them, do everything you can.
Right.
How do we get rid of those strings?
Yeah.
And I'm noticing the strings more in this than I do in Thunderbirds or Captain Scarlet.
Yeah.
Is that to do with the technique? Did something change after this? Or?
I think they were spraying the wires down with something so that they didn't reflect as much on film.
And maybe they're easier to hide in colour, I don't know. But if you have a colourful picture, perhaps your eyes aren't drawn quite so much to them.
But also in a lot of the later shows, including The Secret Service, for scenes with characters in cars, the puppets would be operated from below, so you wouldn't have the wires anywhere.
Yes, that makes sense. Because the idea of puppeteering through the roof of a car feels a bit counterintuitive.
Or even through the roof of a jet at like 50,000 feet, there's holes in the canopy.
But also, we have to realise this picture was never meant to be this sharp.
No. No, it's looking great.
Yeah,
it was meant to be shown once.
Yeah, and on a little blurry black and white TV set.
Yeah.
But it's easy, no time at all.
Yeah, that would have been far more forgiving in terms of wires, in terms of the backdrops as well. Like
that's
the moving
right.
car, you wouldn't have thought, oh, that's a backdrop.
But I think even though it is. relatively crude compared to Thunderbirds, if you watch it, you do get invested in the story and the characters, and your brain does switch off to the fact that they're puppets.
But yes, but look at the lighting in this, just this scene here.
Yeah.
The shadows, the dark, the blacks of the shadows.
No, the lighting was really
quite interesting.
And here comes Master Spy flying in. I love that shot. You can feel the puppeteer holding from underneath.
Why do we not go down at once?
Because for just one moment, I prefer to watch and to take relish in their absurd plight.
Mm. But do you not
how many episodes did they make of
Supergirl? It's 39. Same as with XO5 and Stingray.
Yeah, extraordinary.
Is that a single series that they did that as one continuous
this is
thing?
First series of 26 and then another 13.
Okay.
A plan of action. This will take him at least 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's obviously what we've got left of the episode then.
Again, it's relatively low villain stakes. Ah, we've made them crash their car slightly. They're going to have to... That'll take them 10 minutes to repair.
So we haven't seen Supercar yet?
Not yet, no. I think they're talking about... flying out there now.
But is that often the format of the episode? Is it like the Thunder Tank in Thundercats that you won't reveal? The car doesn't come forward until it gets to save the day.
It's either that or, hey, I've invented this new thing for Supercar. Oh, that's really good. I wonder if we'll ever need to use that. And lo and behold, something
will
happen.
They have to use
it, yeah. Oh, no, you won't, my lad. It's way past midnight and you should have been in bed hours ago.
Does Mitch the Monkey have any sort of backstory?
Well, he's Jimmy's pet.
Yes.
I don't know how much deep you...
We don't have an origin story.
He does get a girlfriend in one episode, yes.
Wow. Is there an episode when he rips off Jimmy's face?
sadly not. No.
Do we know, is he a chimpanzee? Is he a monkey?
He's Mitch the Monkey,
he's
yes.
He's Mitch the Monkey.
Allegedly. Yeah.
It's a non-specific primate.
Non-specific primate. For the ape family.
Yes.
But we don't know if he came from the zoo or anything, or if he's an orphaned monkey.
No, I really don't.
There's one for the Blu-ray booklet,
yeah,
Chris.
An audio drama, yeah.
Could it be that Supercar landed in the jungle and Mitch climbed aboard?
There's a prequel right here.
It's a theory that it is just a little guy in a costume and so far no one's twigged. Yeah, he's Jimmy's pet. The idea is that in the first episode, Bill on the left here and Jimmy, his little brother, and Mitch the Monkey, they're in a plane, they crash. Supercar has to go out and rescue them, and that's how they get involved with them.
And then they become part of the gang.
Yes, yeah. Bill comes in and out, but the kid and the monkey are there permanently.
I
guess Bill was quite glad to get rid of them.
You mentioned that... Later on, the monkey speaks at some point in another episode.
There is a dream episode, yeah, where he speaks in a sort of 60s beatnik style.
Amazing. I thought you were going to... I was thinking it would be like kind of Amy the gorilla in Congo. You seen that?
Oh,
like
Amy,
good gorilla.
No, he's like, hey, man, yeah, what are we going to do? Let's go do save the day, man.
Oh, we should be watching that episode.
Sorry, can I just bring us back to Superfly? Just pointing out the flickering of the fire there in the shadows.
Yeah. Oh, that's
rather nice.
Yeah.
Like, details that they needn't have done, you know.
Yeah.
But just help to elevate the picture.
But it's testament to how beautiful black and white can be, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Particularly for lighting.
Yeah.
You sometimes lose that in colour shows.
So here it is.
Hey!
And now we get one of the... the launch sequences in every Anderson episode are quite...
Very important.
You look forward to them.
Yeah,
this one is a bit longer and a bit more protracted. We have to talk about it more. discuss what we're going to do.
I see.
By now, they should have pressed the launch button and the adventure would begin properly.
I would want the palm trees to have parted.
Quite right. I suppose in the Secret Service, of course, the launch sequence is just the car coming
out the gates.
It's
to the house.
I love that Jerry had all these experiences with merchandise and what can we sell, and then the final thing is just a car and a vicar. That'll do us.
There's an
interview.
Does
the car transform into anything, Jerry? No, it's just a nice car.
Yeah.
It's old. It's yellow,
yeah.
That's about it.
There's an old interview with Richard Culley, who was the head of Century 21 merchandising. This is during Joe 90. And he's asked, what's next? And he says, well, I can't say much, but there's a series about a vicar. And the merchandising potential here is quite strong.
You would believe it.
No, you're lying through your teeth there.
Great.
Even if you released a toy version, I guess of the kind of miniaturised suitcase? Or
a church
or the minimiser.
Yeah.
And church set, yeah. Here we go. Oh, it's counting down from 10.
Yeah. Well, this is us charging the first engine. Once this is done, we have a second engine to charge.
But and this happens in every episode?
Pretty much, yeah. But again, this would have been...
That was a human hand?
Yeah. Kids wouldn't have seen things like this.
Yeah. The anticipation of all of this.
Stingray and Thunderbirds, all of that was yet to come.
Yeah.
So this, in its own right, for this time, I think is exemplary.
Because early 1960s, the space race, just about getting into full swing. Yeah. We would be familiar with very long and protracted launch sequences. Yeah, true. Countdown from, true. You know, true. Whatever.
Is the supercar itself, that fire that we saw coming out the back, is a slight echo of like the still to come 60s Batman, isn't it? Of the Batman bit.
Oh, yes.
A little bit of that vibe.
Batteries to power, turbines to speed,
All that stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of, what is the ship called in Stingray? I've gone blank.
Stingray.
It is called Stingray. What a stupid question.
The clue's in the title.
What is the thing? But there's a bit of Stingray, of supercar, isn't there? The designs, there's a little bit.
I think they're both designed by Reg Hill.
Yeah. Also have that sample of fuel you are over.
What's that lead character in Batman called?
Bruce Wayne, I think.
Oh, well, that's a bit brutal.
The samples are in. Oh, and while you are about it...
What, Master Spy?
Look in the front of the truck for a radio. These gentlemen have fooled me before with their radios, and I, Master Spy, do not intend to be fooled this time.
I do love all these characters as well, but I think Master Spy is a great villain. He's so full of himself. He wouldn't last 5 minutes up against Captain Black or the Hood.
There's the crossover we all need.
I would like to see that.
Yeah.
And the fuel? Do I bring it here?
You do.
But you talked about Master Spy being a slight riff on maybe Sidney Greenstreet, we said, didn't we, from the Maltese Falcon. And his cohort here is a little bit Peter Lorre, isn't it? Who's that vibe?
Yeah.
We know they're east of here.
Yeah, but that's all we do know.
He still hasn't taken off.
No, because they're not sure of anything yet. they need to wait for more information.
Mighty big place.
Yeah, it's a mighty big place. Just take off.
Yeah.
On a whim.
I mean, so many times Dr. Beaker has gone missing or not arrived where he's supposed to be. You would think they put a tracking device on him.
Yeah, right.
I love that they're giving the monkey the headphones.
Yes.
Important to keep the monkey involved. The child doesn't get headphones, but the monkey gets headphones. What have we got here? Got some gasoline?
Walk around the stone.
Oh, yeah.
Is he going to fall over another one?
He's got to, surely. Yeah, look out!
Oh, you're doing so well.
Oh, dear. That's because it's very volatile fuel.
Found the fuel. Have a care, friends.
And, of course, it needs to be kept refrigerated, so now it's out of the fridge on the back of the truck.
I see. Oh, a nice camera tilt.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's impressive.
Did you find the radio?
Yes, Master Spy. And I destroyed it. With the
excellent.
Good, friend Zarin. Then take the fuel to our truck and put it in the bag. Do not worry, Dr. Beaker. It will be put to good use, I assure you.
By good use, does he mean...
Evil, I suspect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rise and then be on our way. I should not want to drive in the dark.
I think you had better...
Several hours of waiting later.
Well, I suppose I better take off.
Yeah, I suppose we could do something,
Doc. He's 2 in time.
Sure thing, Professor. I'll take off and play...
He has a slightly gormless look to him, doesn't he, Mike? There's something about the eyes and teeth.
Yeah.
I mean... You're thinking, is that why we can't get a supercar up and running?
He is one of the more competent members of the crew.
Oh, that's good. Glad to hear.
Oh, God.
Right! Main doors open!
Oh, that's good.
Now, are we going to have to charge the engines again?
Characters looking in wonder at something they must have seen hundreds of times before.
Give it a nice wobble.
Batteries, Professor. They've affected her trim.
Now, does it go straight up, or is there
a ramp? It should do, but they've got extra batteries for the fridge on the back of the truck, so he's taking those out as well. That's going to disturb supercar's equilibrium. We need to worry about that.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Look at that.
Does the supercar prop ever turn up in any other Anderson series? You'd be tempted if you were doing Thunderbirds to kind of recycle it into...
It ended up on display in, like, a toy shop somewhere, I think.
Maybe it's just too distinctive to have appeared in another
well,
series?
Actually, there's the supercar team's base.
Yeah.
In the second series, they built a model for it, and that model is in the refinery that's destroyed at the end of the opening titles of Thunderbirds.
When
it comes up filmed in Super Mario Nation. Yeah. The supercar lab is on the bottom right of the screen, getting blown to bits. So.
Great.
Well, that's, you might as well use it as, yes. as fodder.
Yes. It's just a building by that point. Yeah.
Now I must go to the van to supervise Krenzai.
I am going to tell you everything I'm doing. Now I must go to the van.
That was where he let himself down.
Yeah. He should have just kept quiet, really.
Inside voice.
And we wanted to go up right here, on the spot. I certainly, most certainly do not. Listen, they've got the fuel, so we keep them talking here. Sun will be up soon, and...
Oh, well, I hope so.
Mike could see it from 100 miles away. Well, well. Yes, to be sure, yes. I think you have something there.
Yay. At last.
And Real Sky?
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
Do you think they filmed that themselves, or is the stock footage?
No, there is a story. They filmed that themselves.
Oh, good.
And there was a... the cameraman had flu or something and got into serious trouble, and so they needed to land quite quickly. And I think the pilot only had one lung, so they had to come down quite slowly.
Oh,
this has been a previous fab fact, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, wow.
Yes.
That was that last shot a genuine location, or was that a model?
Oh, the sun, I think that's on the set, yeah. We see that again in a minute. Yeah,
quite detailed.
And more nice Barry Gray music that was reused in later shows.
Uh-huh.
Interesting load on board.
Interesting, huh? You can say that again.
Oh.
On mature consideration, I must admit, Master Spy, that you would appear to have won this round.
He does a good laugh.
He does, yes.
Thank you. Such a treat.
It's a slightly Jabba the Hutt laugh,
actually.
Yes.
Overcome. But certainly, we have the prize.
It's bubbling away.
I wouldn't stand quite so close if I were you.
No.
Just to hammer the point
somebody's
home.
Somebody's going to have it. Supercar.
It's not very fast, is it?
Remember, he's looking for them on the ground,
okay.
So he's got to take it slow.
Right. Observational speed.
Yeah.
Methodical.
Is it a bit like the car from the Jetsons as well? Has that got a similar vibe to Supercar?
I don't remember the Jetsons all that well.
I think that's after this, though. I think Jetsons
yes,
is
yeah.
late 60s.
To fool me, hoping that while I listen to your flattery, some rescue may arrive. But that will not be. I go. Now,
there goes a charming guy.
Look at that.
See, that's not
yeah,
bad,
that's
though,
lovely.
Is it? That's quite nice.
Yeah.
Luckily, they've got a very slow truck.
He's just read the label.
And this bit, this reminds me of the bit in Monty Python and the Holy Grail,
when
John
Cleese
is running towards the castle, yeah. It's almost the same cue.
Still happening. It's good. The way they've done the sun is quite good, though. That's just a big old light on set, though.
Yeah, I guess.
It's
yeah.
good.
He may be going farther than he intended.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hold it, Professor. There's a pillar of smoke.
Now I see them.
Ah. Blew up. And I'll bet I know what it is.
So, wait a minute. Have the baddies resolved the plot, like, without the need for supercar?
Basically, yes.
Supercar was so slow that it was not required.
All this would have happened without them.
It's basically a taxi to get Bill and Beaker back home now. Yes.
Thank goodness the bad guys are so incompetent. Hooray!
Hub, how do I know what happened? You idiot! All I know is that those two...
Do you think they've genuinely smashed up the prop?
Well, it was in a couple of other episodes. I can't remember when the last time we see it is.
Here, their cursed supercar.
Yeah, that's them, all right.
Spawn them, Professor.
Confirmation from the monkey there.
One day I will get even with you and your cursed supercar.
Oh, wah, not wah. Afraid of a wah wah.
No.
Wah wah and a ripple.
Yes. Yeah, almost like it was all a dream.
Yes, we are programmed to think about that.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Mike. He's already working on a new one. And here in the laboratory, where he says Gibson's transport can't harm it.
Well, of all the ungrateful... Hey, Doc.
Yes, what is it? Please don't disturb me. I'm trying something rather critical.
It's a brave man who has a monkey in his science lab.
Yes, yes.
Very brave.
Well, there you go.
And there we go.
First taste of supercar.
No, the first one I've ever seen. So thank you for showing it to me.
I mean, where would you rate that? How does it sort of rank amongst the other series that you do know?
Well, I always think when you're looking back at early examples of any genre, you think... It's just very interesting to see what it would become.
Yes.
You know, when we're talking about the launch process. Yes,
the templates are being set here, aren't they, really?
Absolutely. That becomes such a staple. And even this underwater stuff is very Stingray, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
So I think very interesting to see things on a kind of early level.
Yeah.
So, Chris Dale, where can we find Supercar these days?
Well, you can get it on DVD and Blu-ray. Sometimes it turns up on Talking Pictures TV. There's a couple of episodes on ITVX. Mm-hmm. Probably dig up some VHS tapes from somewhere if you've got a VCR.
Yeah,
great. That covers it. Yeah.
Well, Chris Chapman, thank you so much for joining us for this month's randomizer.
My pleasure.
I hope we've introduced Supercar to you in such a way that you will now rush home and watch the rest.
I want to know more about Mitch the monkey, basically. I want to learn more about Mitch.
See you again. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Let's get started. Let's go.
Spectrum is green.